Welcome to this evening's worship service. We are grateful to our own pastor who will be leading this time and bringing to us God's word. Next service following this will be the Bible study at 7:30, which will be led by Mr. Lewis. Thank you.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Let us pray. Ever blessed God, we come tonight to sing afresh unto thee. And as we do so, we are reminded of thy mercies. New every morning are thy mercies. Great is thy faithfulness. And we would approach thee, admiring thee, recognizing thy holiness, but thanking thee also for thy mercy. And we come to thee now, such a compassionate and merciful God, and we pray that thou would look on us in thy pity and help us again this evening hour. Strengthen us, may we be helped to focus on thee, may our love be cultivated, that we might worship thee this evening hour. O Lord, we come to thee through the name of our Saviour. What a precious Saviour we have found in Christ. And oh, we thank thee that he is the one at thy right hand, making intercession for us now, reminding thee of his precious blood. O, think on him, hear his intercession, and accept our praise this evening hour. We come again confessing our latest sin, O Lord, even of this day. If thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, who shall stand? O hear us now then. We come. We love thee and adore thee. We desire that thy name would be lifted up tonight. Help us to magnify thee. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Therefore we will call upon thee. We come because we know the invitation that thou dost desire to hear our voice tonight. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Our first praise is Psalm 147. Psalm 147, and we're singing verses 1 through to verse 5. And the tune is Andrew. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good. Praise to our God to sing.
Praise ye the Lord.
Is it?
Our consecutive reading is to be found in Proverbs chapter 2, and this week we're reading from verse 10. Proverbs 2, and we're reading from verse 10. Let us hear God's word. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. We turn to our second praise, Psalm 32, verses 1 to 5, and the tune is Main. O blessed is the man to whom is freely pardoned.
Oh, blessed
is God.
Let us come now to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and ever blessed God, we thank thee for that blessing which is associated with forgiveness. We thank thee for the covering of sin. And we would praise thee tonight for it. We thank thee again for the precious blood of Jesus, and that through his precious blood our sins are forgiven. O Lord, we come to thee, may we know further blessing in view of this, O Lord. And as we would seek fatherly forgiveness, we pray that we might know it again in view of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We would acknowledge our sin, we would not cover it, as the psalmist declares. We would confess it before thee. O Lord, we thank thee for that free forgiveness, that fatherly forgiveness which thou dost so often bestow upon us. O Lord, we pray that we might value it more, and that we might show to thee that we value it by having a greater awe of thee. And like with Abraham and Nehemiah and Noah of old, that we would move in the fear of the Lord. O Lord, then we pray that thou would take note of the respect we have of that fatherly forgiveness in our lives. O Lord, we come then to thee. We do pray that thou would further help us as we wait upon thee. Help us in our lives to wait upon thee, as we considered Ruth this morning. Help us to sit still and see how providence unfolds. See how the matter will unfold. And we thank thee we can rest, because thou art the one who is working all things for our good. And we have a blessed Redeemer who is at work for us, unfolding thy purposes. O gracious God, help us then, we pray, to be like Ruth of old. We thank thee for one who speaks to the soul. Blessed Saviour, great prophet, speak to our hearts tonight. Inform us, O Lord, if it be we who love thee, inform us further. Only without Christ, if it please thee, instruct them for the first time through thy words, we pray. We thank thee also that thou art the high priest, and thou art making intercession. Thou hast not forgotten us this day. Thou hast continued in thy intercession. We thank thee that thou art a king. Thou art sustain us. Thou dost speak, and that authoritative word that thou art deliver. And in thy time thou wilt deliver, O Lord. We thank thee for who thou art. Thou art our prophet, priest and king. We thank thee that thou art our Redeemer, our Captain, our Saviour, our Shepherd. Oh, we bless thee for what thou art to us. We do not deserve thee, but we thank thee, O blessed Redeemer, what thou art to us, O Lord. And it is a privilege that we can say with Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Help us to become more like Christ as the days pass. Help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of him. Help us to be like Mary of old, at the feet of Jesus. Lord, bring us to the feet, where we would humbly look up with faith in the soul and love in the heart, and that we would listen unto thee. Bless thy word to us tonight. O, help us in thy word tonight. Speak, we pray, as we come before thy word. Give help in the preaching. Lord, strengthen within. May there be that help from on high. And all who minister thy word tonight, may they know that thou art standing alongside them. And use the word preached, we pray, to the blessing, edification of thy people, and to the saving of sinners, O Lord, in this country. We thank thee for what thou art doing in Iran, in Brazil, amongst the Portuguese-speaking people. We thank thee that in these places many young ones are turning unto Christ. We give thee thanks for this. How we long to see it in our own country, that many young people would turn unto Christ. Lord, we pray. Oh, we pray for this. Do such a work. We do rejoice, however, in what thou art doing in certain countries of the world, where the gospel is going forth and the church is flourishing. We thank thee for such days where the church is flourishing, in certain countries. We again pray for the difficulties in Europe. We pray for the situation in Ukraine. If it please thee that the war would come to conclusion this week, O Lord. We pray for those who are suffering. We pray for the orphans, so many of them, who have lost their parents in this war. Oh, we pray for those little children. We thank thee for those who have been delivered from that bombed city. Oh, we pray for them. And we pray that they in time would find family homes, and particularly homes where thy word is loved. Oh, we pray for the orphans, so many of them in Ukraine at this time. We pray for the mothers, for those who have lost their husbands in the fight. We pray for them. Oh, bring it to conclusion. And may yet this world be in awe of thee, that they would be still and know that thou art God. We pray again for those ministers seeking to do what they can in the cities and countryside of Ukraine. Bless them. We thank thee for those who have stayed when they could have left and are seeking to serve thee. Oh, be with them. Give them much grace and strength and preserve their lives that they will be a further blessing. We thank thee that there are many in Ukraine seeking thee. Oh Lord, we pray for them. Oh, hear us in these prayers. May we soon hear of better news in Europe. May the war not spread, O Lord, we beseech thee. Remember this nation, O Lord, give wisdom. Oh, we see so few looking to thee for wisdom. But we read that if any man lack wisdom, he is to ask of thee. May our leaders ask thee for wisdom. But first of all, may they ask thee that thou wouldst reveal to them the wisdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we pray for this. We pray for many leaders to be raised up who fear thee. What a blessing that would be to this country. For we know when there are ungodly men and women in authority, it does not go so well. Oh Lord, we pray, raise up godly men and women. Give us good leaders, leaders who fear thee in the nation. We pray then for our leaders, give them wisdom. May they seek thee. Oh, we pray again for the distribution of thy word. We pray for new Bibles soon to be printed in the Netherlands for the Ukrainian people. We thank thee that so many have gone. We pray for the printing of the Ukrainian Bibles. We pray for the distribution of the Russian Bibles at this time as well. Oh, hear us in these things. We do thank thee for thy goodness and mercy. Thou hast been a shepherd to us. Thou hast cared for us. Thou hast led us on. Oh, show forth thy goodness and mercy to us this week. Pursue us with thy mercy, thy goodness. Help us on the journey. Carry us, O Lord, use thy word to restore us and to bless us. Take us through the valleys, cause us to lie down in the green pastures, that we might know refreshment and rest. Oh, may we know times of refreshment. Lord, even this week, near unto thee, bring us nearer, Lord, to desire more of thee. We desire that closer walk with thee. Draw us nearer. Where thou dost see the distance, come after us quickly. Close that distance. We haven't the strength of ourselves, though we're to run after thee. Oh, Lord, close the distance and cause our feet to run after thee, O Lord. Hear us in these things. Bless us all. For those who know perplexing situations, Lord, help them. Those who need special direction, lead and guide them, we pray. Help all the young people, all the children, be with them. For the widows, may they know the nearness of Christ the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. For those of us who are married, bless our marriages. Help us as we seek to perform our duties for thy glory and the benefit of our spouse. Help us, O Lord, in these things. We give thee thanks for thy goodness. We thank thee for spiritual blessings, so many, for temporal blessings, for the homes we live in, the food we eat. Oh Lord, when we see in Ukraine pastors' homes bombed, oh Lord, we are humbled. We thank thee for what we have. We thank thee we're able to give back an offering unto thee. And oh Lord, bless the offerings of thy people here in this place. Use them for thy glory here and further afield. Bless the spread of the gospel in this place. We pray, draw many to thyself. Help us collectively and individually. Help us to come alongside certain ones. May we be like John the Baptist, pointing them unto thee. O Lord, hear us then. Blessed be thy name. We give thee the praise for Christ's sake. We are unworthy, but thou art so worthy. So worthy, O Lord, that eternity is too short to sing thy praise. Hear us, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
After praise is Psalm 37, verses 34 to 40, to the tune Duns Lap Creek. Psalm 37, verses 34 to verse 14. And at the relevance of these words, we're going to sing in light of what we read in Proverbs. Psalm 37, verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and be exalted. Shall he.
Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and be exalted, shall he.
Thou shalt see.
follow on from what John mentioned earlier, Mr. Lewis will be speaking on Wednesday in the hall. That's not me, that's my father. And then the following week, I just draw your attention, the midweek meeting will be on Friday, when it will be the prayer meeting for church and nation. And the Lord willing, we expect our friend, the Reverend Malcolm Watts, to come down and minister God's word. So this week, Mr. Lewis on Wednesday, and then the following week for the midweek meeting, it will be the Reverend Malcolm Watts, the Lord willing, for the prayer meeting for church and nation on Friday at the earlier time of 7 p.m. Well, if you would turn with me to Mark chapter 5, and we're going to read the 33rd verse and the 34th verse. Mark chapter 5, the 33rd verse and the 34th verse. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Dear congregation, Luke 15, verse 2, it was said of Jesus, this man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. Those who said it were murmuring against Christ. We who love the Lord, we have no complaints. We are so thankful that he receives sinners, and he eats with them, that he received us, and he dines with us. He has a heart of great compassion, and his arms are stretched out in the gospel, and he receives and dines with the elect sinner who believes in him. He will not turn away the humble, penitent sinner. Jesus said in John 6, verse 37, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He will not turn away, not on the first occasion when they come by faith and they're saved, nor on subsequent occasions. He will never turn you away, dear child of God. When we get to the last valley, we can take comfort. He will be with us, and he will not turn us away. When we get to the gates, the entrance of heaven, he will not turn us away, but rather receive us into that place. What a wonderful truth and a glorious comfort. Tonight we consider a certain lady who came to Jesus, and in that amazing way of great mercy, he did not turn her away. A certain lady came and touched the garment or the clothes of Jesus. Jesus turns and says, Who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? Well, she comes, we note in verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. There she is. She makes it plain what has happened to her. She makes it plain that she has sought others, but they had done her no good. She makes it plain that she was a sinner and she was unworthy of him. She tells him all the truth. And what does the Lord say in verse 34? Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Without any further introduction, I'd like us to consider first of all tonight the condition, secondly the touch, thirdly the confession, and fourthly the blessing. The condition, the touch, the confession, and the blessing. Well, let's consider first of all tonight then the condition. Verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. She had an issue, or a flowing, or a flux of blood for 12 years. In verse 29, we're given a little more information. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she had been healed of that plague, referred to there there's a fountain and there's a plague. When we think of the word fountain, a spring, a gushing. And then when we think of the word plague, a disease. That's the idea in the Greek of contact. Well, this plague had touched her and was affecting her. Now, it was an uncommon issue of blood. And this would bring much pain and discomfort and inconvenience. It was a hindrance to her day-to-day living. Now we're told in verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. While she was suffering, she went to certain ones, to a number of physicians, and she had spent all that she had, but to no avail. She did not recover. She rather grew worse. Things just got worse for her. It did not get better of itself. And with all the medicine she tried, she was no the better. Oh, what a state this woman was in. Well, here we have a picture of a sinner in bondage, diseased by sin. In Isaiah 1 verse 5 we read, why should ye be stricken any more? You are revolved more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Oh, what sin has done. We consider their total depravity. Sin has affected the whole. It has affected every faculty of the soul. Think of the faculties of the soul. The will, the mind, the conscience, the memory, the affection. Oh, what sin has done. There's no real affection to the Lord, is there? One does not remember the gospel even if they heard it. Oh, what sin has done. Well, consider this lady. She grew worse. And oh, consider sinners by nature. They do not get better. And the older they get, the worse they get. What do I mean? Well, you think of the slippery path of sin. One commits one sin and another sin. And think of those who commit the sin of unbelief and remain in that state. Their hearts get hardened more and more. We think of Pharaoh. He got worse, didn't he? As the years passed, there seemed to be some softness, but it wasn't genuine. And his heart got more hardened. The slippery path of sin. And how sad it is there are some who are alive tonight who are still committing the sin of unbelief after 80 years. And they're so hardened. You meet some people, they're nearing, as it were, from a human point of view, the end of their lives, yet they are so hardened by sin. They haven't got better. That was impossible. It just got worse. Oh, what sin has done. Well, this lady, she had spent much and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She didn't get better. And men and women do not get better by themselves. No. That's amazing, isn't it? If you cut yourself, a little cut, amazingly the skin recovers. A little scab is formed, and a few days later, or a week later, it falls off. And underneath the scab, there is fresh skin. It's amazing, isn't it? How the Lord has designed our bodies. However, when we think of sin, one does not get better by themselves. The slippery path of sin. Sin is loved more and more. Oh, what a state this lady was in. She had an uncommon issue of blood, but also she was in the bondage of sin. We read in Ezekiel 16 verse 6, when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted, in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Is this lady? She had an uncommon issue of blood, but also she was in the bondage of sin, and this was exposed to the Lord, polluted in thine own blood. Blood is part of us. Sadly, so is sin. And we think down Ezekiel, when we read of polluted in thine own blood, the pollution of sin, we were not born clean. We've never been perfect like this lady. Oh, what sin has done. Remember those words in Job 14, verse 4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Polluted by sin. Guilty. Here was this lady then. She was a sinner. She was guilty. But further, there was separation. Now turn with me to Leviticus 15, verse 25. We have a certain law. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. You see there the separation that came about. And in verse 31 of Leviticus 15 we read this, thus shall you separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness, when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. There had to be the separation. And separation there from the tabernacle. Oh, let's think of sin. It's broad separation, hasn't it? And so we read in Isaiah 59, verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot say, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Separation because of sin. Or consider this lady, she had to be separate because of this uncommon issue of blood. But think further of the separation she knew in a spiritual way because of her sin. And so it is tonight. Oh, as you look down, look over rather certain ones in unbelief, it is that their iniquities have separated them from God. No wonder people do not worship the Lord. There's separation. We thought earlier of how sin has affected every faculty of the soul. It's affected the affections. There's no true affection to the Lord. They're separated. They don't want to worship him. They do not want to know the joy of fellowship. There's unbelief, they will not seek him. What a state man is in by nature. What a state this lady was in. And remember again, she just got worse and worse. Such is the grip of sin. But let's consider secondly now, the touch. The touch. Consider this poor lady. She had lived for 12 years. Knowing this condition. But then further, the bondage she was in as a sinner without Christ. But it was all to change for her. And now, having considered her sad state, secondly, we consider the touch. Verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. What a change. For 12 years she had suffered misery, and for the years of her life she had not known Jesus. But all was to change when she heard of Jesus. That's precious, isn't it? Here's one being drawn, as we will consider in a moment. She hears of Jesus and she comes in the press behind. Through grace she has been humbled. Oh, what a work is taking place. And she touches his garment. And as we will consider now, and a little later, here is faith's humble touch. Now, why did she come and touch the garment of Jesus. Well, let's consider this. First of all, others could not help her. Notice verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She'd gone to this physician and that physician, paid over money, but they hadn't helped her. And now she has no money. She's brought to this point, no one can help me. But then she hears of Jesus. This is precious, isn't it? What the Lord does, he brings one to a point, no one else can help me. You see, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, but he also in effectual calling shows the suitableness of Christ. No one else can help me but Christ alone. This woman comes and touches the garment of Jesus because no one else could help her. She searched for a cure, but she could not find one. Oh, there are many who are searching for a cure for their sin. They know they're a sinner, but no one helps them. But in effectual calling, they're drawn to Jesus. Is there someone here? You've been trying to do certain things, but it's not working. Oh, that you would be brought to a point. There's no one else who can help you but the Lord. You consider, particularly today, many search the internet for cures. Some search a cure for their balding head. They pay over money. It doesn't work. It's a scam so often, isn't it? Yet money's paid. Consider this woman. She's paid her money, but she doesn't get better. How many have gone to Rome, paid their money, hoping that will get them on the road to heaven? Others look to their works. They think that works will merit them salvation. No. When the Lord is saving, one is brought to this point. There's no one else for me but Jesus. He used to be an elderly gentleman. I believe he is still alive. He thought himself to be a Christian, but he wasn't. Yes, he believed that Jesus came into the world, died on a cross, but he was trusting in his works as well. He had not been brought to a point where he had put faith in Christ alone. No! But when the Lord is saving, there's no one else for me but Jesus. Many are looking in the wrong direction. You see, by nature there is a desire. By nature there is a hunger. But it's not after Christ. We see this in Isaiah 55, verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? By nature there is a hunger. Down in the heart people want peace. They go searching. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labour for that which satisfieth not. But they do, don't they? They're looking in the wrong direction, as Isaiah makes plain. Oh, that they would look in the right direction. And now we turn to verse 1 of Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. He that hath no money, they've been brought to a point. There's nothing I can do. Nothing I could give. This lady, she had nothing. And then she hears of Jesus. What happens in effectual calling? I have nothing. I need Jesus. Is there someone here tonight? You're without Christ. Oh, that you would see that you have nothing. And that you need Jesus. Why did she touch the garments of Jesus? Because others couldn't help her. Well, let's consider secondly. Why did she touch the garment? Well, simply this, secondly, she heard of Jesus, the physician. Firstly, others could not help her. But secondly, she heard of Jesus. I can look back to early days. I heard of Jesus, particularly my mother used to tell me of Jesus. Dad would be off early, out to work. He would come back in the evening and read. But particularly it was my mother. She would tell me of Jesus. But then there came a particular time when I was a little older when I heard of Jesus in my heart. Have you heard of Jesus in your heart? Everyone here, and you listening online, you're hearing of Jesus. But have you heard of Jesus in your heart? Has it affected you? These are precious words. When she had heard of Jesus. Think of the sinner. They go looking in other directions. But the elect sinner then hears of Jesus. Have you heard of him? Have you been affected by him? Having heard, have you gone to Jesus? You remember the centurion? He too heard of Jesus in Luke 7 verse 3. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. As we know, he felt so unworthy to meet Jesus, that Jesus would come under the roof of his house. But he heard and he knew that Jesus could help. Have you heard of Jesus? It may be one particular sermon. You were struck by the gospel. It may be you were reading the Bible, listening to someone's testimony, and they quoted a verse of scripture, and you were led to consider Jesus, and you heard of him. Have you heard of him? One of old wrote, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down my head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. How blessed we are if we have heard of Jesus in our hearts. You know what I mean. You can hear of Jesus with your ear. But oh, here is a hearing of Jesus in the soul. It affects us. I need him. One goes to him. And one then who is saved is thankful they ever heard of Jesus. Oh, the message of the gospel is ever to be preached. Hearing yesterday in Birmingham. We think of the present downgrade, preaching is put to one side, but it is the choice means God uses preaching. And so we read in Romans 10 verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. They go forth and they bring the tidings of glad things, and men and women hear of Jesus. Have you heard of Jesus? We'll just note these words, verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, you may not know the particular day, but you can look back. Yes, I heard of Jesus. And now I know him, and I'm following him, and I desire to know more of him. Well, as we think of why she touched his garments, thirdly, consider this. She was drawn to Jesus. She'd gone to other people, they had not helped her. But then suddenly she hears of Jesus. But then thirdly, she's drawn to Jesus. And we follow this through. One hears of Jesus. When the Lord is saving, not only do they hear within, but they're drawn to him. The fame of Jesus had spread. There were those who had heard of one who was performing miracles, healing the sick and blessing so many. And there were those who would come, many out of curiosity, wanting to see a miracle. G.T. Ryle writes, many followed Jesus from curiosity but derived no benefit from him. But not so with this lady. She hears, and the Lord is at work in her heart. She's drawn. Just note these words here in verse 27, when she heard that Jesus came in the press behind his evidence that she heard of Jesus in the soul. She comes, she's drawn. In a moment we'll consider that faith had been put within. She goes to him. Have you gone to Jesus? Have you been drawn to him? Now we note in verse 27, when she heard that Jesus came in the press behind, or in the crowd, she was so embarrassed. First of all, because of this uncommon issue of blood. Remember again in Leviticus, there was to be separation. And so she's embarrassed. Should she go? Could she go? She didn't want to be seen. She couldn't go to that place of worship. So she comes humbly. But she comes because she's drawn to Jesus. Here's a humble lady. There's so much here, isn't there? In effectual calling, one hears, one is drawn. One humbly comes to Jesus. Pride is cut down. Here's this lady. She comes humbly. Have you humbly gone to Jesus? I'm a sinner. I've got nothing to offer. But I need thee. She knew that Jesus could do her good. In effectual calling, the sinner knows that Jesus can do them good. And they humbly go, drawn to Jesus. Her heart had been touched. Remember, she had heard of Jesus in her heart. It was a work of grace in the soul, and she was being drawn to none other but Jesus. I am so thankful. I was drawn to him. All to be drawn closer. In the Song of Solomon 1 verse 4, draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Draw me, we. The individual believer, draw me. But all the individual believer having an effect on others. We. Are you having an effect on others? That you're bringing your brothers and sisters along with you in Christ. We will run after thee. Draw me. One who has been drawn in that initial way wants to get closer to Jesus. I do. Do you want to get closer to Jesus? I'm so thankful for a shepherd who restores my soul, who closes the distance. Draw me. And here's this lady. She touches his garment thirdly because she's drawn. Fourthly, she's given faith. Here is faith's humble touch. Notice verse 27, and she heard, when she heard that Jesus came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Faith was put within. She'd been going in the wrong direction, trying other physicians who could not help her. But here she's drawn to Jesus and faith is put within. The Lord takes note of her faith in verse 34. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. She touches the garment of Jesus because faith hath been put within. Here is faith's humble touch. She touched his garment. Through faith, one embraces Christ. Remember those words in Psalm 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. The embrace of faith. Through faith, we touch Christ, as it were. We embrace him. And love is put within, so it becomes a loving embrace as well. One is drawn to Christ, and through faith they embrace is this lady. She touches his garment, but she also embraces him in the arms of faith. She goes, she touches. Faith is seen as a coming. In Matthew 11, verse 28, our Lord says, come unto me, O ye that labour, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. We can't go physically, but spiritually through faith we can. Have you gone to Jesus? Here's this lady. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. The one who goes to Jesus will know a welcome. You can be assured of his common welcome unto Jesus Christ. Remember again where we began tonight. We considered those words that were said of Jesus in Luke 15, verse 2. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This man, let me ask you, have you been received by Jesus? What's one of the evidences that we've been received by Jesus? We know fellowship with him. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Have you gone to Jesus? Have you been received? Do you know fellowship with Jesus Christ in your life? This lady, she went. She was blessed in a physical way. She was healed, but much more in a spiritual way. And what is she doing tonight? She's dining with Jesus in heaven above. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank thee for this example we have in Scripture. And we look forward to meeting that woman one day. Oh, we thank thee that she was drawn unto thee, Lord Jesus. And we who love thee, we thank thee that we were drawn. We saw that no one else could help but thee. Oh, we pray tonight there will be those in this locality, those in our families, those in this country who come to a point there's no one else but Jesus for me. Oh, do a work of grace in the soul. Draw poor sinners to thyself. May there be faith's humble touch of the Saviour, the embrace of Christ. Lord, draw us nearer. Oh, to know more of him. We thank thee that he received sinners, he received us, and he dines with them. Blessed Saviour, come again and again to dine with our souls. Lord, if thou must knock, knock hard to arouse us, that we would know the blessed banquet with thee. O Lord, hear us now. Forgive us our sins, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We turn to our final praise. God willing, we'll continue on looking at this event next Lord's Day evening. But we'll sing our final praise now. Psalm number 4, verses 4 to 8, to the tune Wallace. Fear and sin not, talk with your heart on bed and silent be. Offerings present of righteousness, and in the Lord trust you. Particularly note the words in verse 8. It's particularly in light of what we'll consider next Lord's Day evening, the Lord willing, I will both lay me down in peace, and quiet sleep will take, because thou only me to dwell in safety, Lord, dost make. Psalm 4, verses 4 to 8, and the tune is Wallace.
Fear and sin not, talk with your heart on bed and silent be. Offerings present of righteousness,
bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen.